Welcome to this Intermediate Ableton Live 12 lesson on Swing Jungle Subsign with an automation first workflow. Today we're building something that feels very drum and bass, very jungle, and very intentional. A low end that stays solid, but still moves, breathes, and reacts to the drums like it's part of the rhythm section. The big idea here is simple. In this style, the sub should be functionally boring. I know that sounds funny, but it's true. The excitement comes from timing, harmonic motion, and automation above the true sub range. So instead of starting with a huge sound design session, we're going to build the motion of the track first. Filter sweeps, saturation changes, send throws, bass mutes, reverb blooms, little echo tails, and arrangement moves. That's the workflow. We're designing energy states first, then polishing the tone. Let's get into it. Start by creating a new MIDI track and loading operator. Operator is perfect for this because we want a clean sine-based sub, not a complicated bass patch right away. Set oscillator to sine, and turn the other oscillators off. Keep the level conservative, around minus 12 to minus 18 dB depending on your gain staging. If you want a tiny bit of movement, you can add a short glide or portamento, but keep it subtle. Around 40 to 80 milliseconds is enough if you want slides. Now, this next part is non-negotiable for jungle and DNB. Put utility after operator and set the width to 0%. That makes the sub mono. Clean, centered, controlled. That's what you want. Fast drums, heavy breaks, and mono sub are friends. Stereo sub is where phase issues and weak club translation start creeping in. If you want a little audible edge, add saturator after utility. Keep it gentle. We're not trying to destroy the sub. We just want a touch of harmonic translation, so the bass is still readable on smaller speakers. Soft sine or analog clip are great starting points, and a couple dB of drive is usually plenty. Now program a short MIDI phrase. One or two bars is enough at this stage. Keep the notes simple. Root note, maybe a fifth, maybe an octave, maybe a passing note, a semitone below the root for a darker pull. Don't overplay it. This style is all about pocket. The groove comes from note placement and note length as much as from note choice. Use a 1/16 grid and start thinking like a drummer. Put some notes slightly late, especially the off beats and the answer notes. Try short notes for bounce and a few held notes for weight. Leave space where the snare and break accents need room. If the bass keeps stepping on the snare, the whole thing will feel crowded, even if the notes themselves are good. A nice way to think about this is call and response. Maybe bar 1 states the idea, and bar 2 answers it with a small variation. You can jump an octave or repeat the motif but move the final note slightly later, or down a semitone. That tiny contrast can make the loop feel much more alive. Before we get too deep into sound shaping, drop in your breakbeat or drum loop. In drum and bass, the bass should react to the break, not ignore it. So get the drums in early. Let them tell you where the bass has to breathe. Group your drums in a sensible way if needed. Kick and snare together. Hats and percussion together, break samples together, and any drum effects in their own group. This makes it easier to hear what's actually happening in the groove. Now listen to the bass against the drums. If a bass note lands exactly where a snare hits and it feels messy, move it. Don't assume more notes is the answer. In this style, subtraction is often the secret weapon. A little gap can do more than a fill. Here's a really useful coaching rule for this style. Think in energy states, not just sounds. Each 4 or 8 bars should have a job. Establish, tighten, hint, release, reset. If every bar is trying to be the climax, the track loses its shape. Now let's shape the motion. Add auto filter after the sub source, or after saturation if you want the filter movement to affect the harmonics too. A low pass filter is great for controlled opening and closing. A band pass can give you a more synthetic jungle texture if that suits the track. Start with a low pass 24 or low pass 12, and set the cutoff low enough that the bass feels restrained at first. Maybe around 120 Hz at the beginning of a phrase, then opening up as the section builds. Keep resonance low to moderate. We want character, not whistle. If you're using an audio effect rack, map key controls to macro so you can move quickly. Cutoff, drive, resonance, and send mount are all excellent macro targets. And here's the big shift in mindset. At this stage, don't obsess over making the sound insanely cool in isolation. Make it respond well to automation. That's what makes this workflow powerful. The arrangement and effects are doing the heavy lifting now. Let's talk automation first. In Ableton Live 12, you can draw automation lanes directly in arrangement view, and that is where the performance lives. Automate cutoff, drive, utility gain, reverb send, and echo send. A simple and effective range might look like this. Keep the cutoff fairly closed at the start of a phrase, then open it more during a lead-in. Push saturator drive a little on the repeat, and a bit harder on the switch up. Use utility gain for small pullbacks before a drop or transition. Send a single bass hit into reverb or echo as a throw, then cut it right back. That one gesture can create a huge sense of motion without cluttering the mix. You can also use clip envelopes when you want phrase-specific automation inside the loop without making the arrangement view look messy. Clip envelopes are great for one-off bass throws, quick filter gestures, or little level dips. Super practical. Now, add a parallel grit layer. This is where the bass gets attitude without sacrificing the sub. Duplicate the bass track, or make a separate layer. Keep the original sine sub clean and mono. On the duplicate, use saturator, overdrive, auto filter, maybe drum bus if you want extra density, and EQA to keep things under control. A simple starting point is to high pass the dirty layer somewhere, around 90 to 140 Hz so it doesn't fight the sub. Then add drive until the harmonics speak, but not so much that it becomes a fuzzy mess. If the upper mids get too sharp, tame them with EQA. Blend the dirty layer quietly, maybe 10 to 35%. You want audibility, not takeover. This is how you get that sub sine plus attitude feel. The sub stays powerful, and the harmonic layer gives it presence on smaller systems and extra menace in the club. Now we're at the fun part. Transitions and switch-ups. In drum and bass, phrase clarity matters a lot. Dancers and DJs need to feel where the section changes are happening. So instead of throwing endless effects at the track, choose a movement point every 8 or 16 bars. Try a simple structure. Bars 1 to 8, main groove with minimal effects. Bars 9 to 12, slightly more cutoff opening and a bit more saturation. Bars 13 to 15, the bass gets sparser and you add an echo throw on the last hit. Bar 16, full stop or drum fill into the next section. You can also automate a brief low pass close right before a snare fill. That momentary darkening makes the return feel bigger. Or automate utility gain down for a beat before the drop comes back in. Tiny changes often hit harder than big obvious ones. Another strong move is a one bar breather before the drop or switch up, where the bass simplifies and the drums carry the momentum. That little pause gives the next hit more impact. Now let's make sure the low end is actually working. Use EQA on the bass group and drum group if needed. On the bass, gently clean up any muddy low mids around 180 to 350 Hz if things are clouding the break. On the drums, carve a little pocket if the kick is fighting the sub, but be careful not to over-EQ. The goal is cooperation, not surgery. Always test the groove at low volume too. That's a really good reality check. If the bass disappears when the volume is low, you probably need more harmonics or better note placement. If it only feels powerful when loud, the sub may be doing too much and the mid-range layer may be too weak. At this point, if the loop is feeling good, you can resample it or freeze and flatten the bass layer. This is a great move in an FX-heavy workflow because it lets you commit to the performance you've designed. You can chop a few strong hits into audio, reverse one bass tail into a transition, add a tiny fade on the end of a bass stab, and treat the bass almost like a break sample. That makes the whole section feel more like part of the drum arrangement, not just a MIDI bass line sitting on top. Finally, turn the whole thing into a reusable rack. Save the sub, the grit layer, and the FX routing as a clean preset. Label the macros clearly. Something like Swing Jungle Subsign Rack is a great name so you can recall the workflow in future tracks. A clean final 16-bar blueprint could look like this. Bars 1 to 4, intro tease with filtered bass. Bars 5 to 8, the groove enters fully. Bars 9 to 12, automation lift and more grit. Bars 13 to 16, switch up, bass gaps, and transition FX. And here's the real test. If you mute the automation, does the bass line still work musically? If the answer is no, then the motion is doing too much of the writing. The core groove should still make sense on its own. Automation should enhance the phrase, not replace it. A few common mistakes to watch out for. Don't make the sub stereo. Don't automate everything at once. Don't write too many bass notes. Don't let the grit layer flood the low mids. Don't ignore the drums. And don't drown the bass in reverb. Short throws are usually enough. For darker or heavier DNB, try very small pitch movement only on the grit layer, not the sub. Use subtle saturation drive changes over 4 or 8 bars. Keep the fundamental sub stable and boring on purpose. That contrast is what makes the section feel huge when it hits. Here's a quick practice challenge. Set a 15-minute timer and build a 16-bar bass section from scratch. Make the mono sine sub in operator. Program a 2-bar phrase with only 3 to 5 notes. Add a gritty duplicate layer. Put in a breakbeat, automate the filter over the first 8 bars. Add 1 reverb throw and 1 echo throw on the final bar of each phrase. Mute the bass for 1 bar before the second drop or switch up. Then export or resample it and listen at low volume, then on headphones. That's the workflow. Simple core, smart timing, controlled sub, and automation doing the expressive work. If you remember nothing else from this lesson, remember this. In Jungle and DNB, the best bass sections feel controlled, heavy, and evolving without losing low-end clarity. Build the swing in the notes, build the emotion in the automation, and let the drums and bass talk to each other. That's how you make a swing jungle subsign that actually works in the mix.